Okay, welcome to the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. Welcome to another show, another week of mountain biking. And I'm delighted this week to be able to welcome somebody who I've actually listened to a fair few of his podcasts in the past. I've been following along avidly. And it's a man by the name of Joe Bauer from the All Around Joe podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all. It's great to speak to you after hearing so much of your wisdom on the podcast anyway. So I thought it would be excellent to talk to you just around, we talk a lot about equipment and preparation and sort of going out and mountain biking, finding the trails and all that kind of stuff. But something I haven't covered much on the podcast so far is training and nutrition. And I know from listening to your podcast that's something that you're pretty expert in.
Yeah, I've done a lot of training, whether it be for, you know, general fitness stuff or even for triathlon or running or biking or whatever it be. I have about, 13 years of experience under my belt. So I've been doing it for quite a while.
Excellent. So what's your background then? You're a personal trainer?
So I would say I'm a head coach at a CrossFit gym at this point, but I have a lot of personal training under my belt. I've had a personal training business back in the day in San Diego when I was done with just finishing up college. And then I actually moved out to New York City and had a personal training business out in New York City for about 4 years. So after that, it turned into CrossFit, but I still do a little bit of personal training as it goes.
Excellent. I think that's how I found you actually, CrossFit, because I started to get into it a bit recently. So I want to ask you a bit about that in relation to biking too. But yeah, that's great stuff. So yeah, certainly an expert in the area. And the podcast as well, how did you get into running the podcast around it?
So one of my major goals is just to help our general population get more educated in health and fitness, because I feel like our schools are not doing a great job at that right now, at least where I'm from. And if I can do anything to help that out, I'll pretty much do it. So I started with just the written form blog for many years and had people tell me I should try getting into podcasting. So I gave it a shot and found that it's pretty fun, you know, to be able to express yourself. And I also find that people feel like they get to know you a little bit better, and you can express your opinions and points maybe better than on the written form, or at least I can. So it's a fun medium to use.
Yeah, definitely. It works better for some people than others, doesn't it? Some people talk better than they write. But above all, I think the personality comes across. It seems like people get to know you. You're kind of in their ears, so you feel like they're a friend talking to you every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, you know, give your emotions a little bit more to the listener. So
yeah, exactly. Great stuff. Well, yeah, I'm really enjoying it anyway, and I'd encourage anyone listening to this to check out the All Around Joe podcast at any point. Yeah. So, but anyway, we're going to mind suck all of your great biking information now anyway, so no need to listen to your show. So it's all going to be here. So to get on to the material then, have you worked with cyclists in particular much in the past?
So I've worked with a fair number of cyclists, but I have actually been an Ironman. So I'm a 2-time Ironman as far as full course, and then I've done a half Ironman as well. So I've had to not only work with a few cyclists, but also be one myself. So I had to figure that out.
Yes, personal experience as well as the research.
Yes, for sure.
Great. I respect you for that, if nothing else, because my brother has done a couple of Ironmans. I've seen how much training he has to put into that, and it's just mental. So yeah,
it's
good work on that. What about mountain biking? So you're obviously a fan of the skinny wheels there. What about, have you done much in the way of fat wheel biking instead?
So out here in Seattle, Washington, we have a beautiful terrain as far as how mountains and rivers and streams and lakes and all that stuff go. So I grew up on a mountain bike and a BMX bike. So I'm very familiar with the sport as of right now. I probably mountain bike maybe, I don't know, once every couple of months, something like that. It's just not something that I can fit into my schedule right now, doing everything that I'm doing. But I definitely am familiar with mountain biking. I have a lot of friends that race mountain bikes around here. So,
great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, one time when I was over at the West Coast, I visited Seattle. I had a friend that lived there, and I was surprised how close we were to Whistler. Actually, we went up to Whistler for just in a couple of hours to visit the trails up there. So I know you've got them close by, if not. But yeah, I believe the mountains around Seattle are amazing as well. So I'm sure there's plenty to explore there.
Yeah, absolutely. You could take, 30-minute drive right out of downtown Seattle and get to some great mountain biking trails.
Right. Okay. So what? Okay. I'll start with CrossFit just because I'm kind of interested in that at the moment. What do you think that is something in particular that kind of training is suited to mountain biking?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and the answer to that is pretty much across the board, yes, because of the differences that you're going to run into on one workout versus another. And let's say if you're on a mountain bike, let's say one trail versus the other, or going up a hill versus down a hill versus over a jump, you're always going to have to be ready in for the next obstacle, let's say. And a lot of CrossFit workouts are in that same kind of, let's say, path or idea. Where you're going to go in and you're not really sure what you're going to attack that day. And it might be something that's going to be really heavy and hard on your quads. Like, let's say you have to charge up a hard hill, or something that, let's say, is quick and fast, which could be, a flat or having to accelerate or, anything on that same path, let's say.
Yeah. So it teaches you a bit of adaptability, I suppose.
Absolutely. Adaptability and then also training in those particular domains, let's say. So, like, whether it be power or strength or endurance.
Yeah, sure. That's interesting because I mean, it goes without saying that endurance and sort of cardio fitness is useful as a biker. I've just been able to get up and down hills and keep your speed up. But strength is something I've been learning a lot more about recently. And it's not something I really thought about when, in terms of cycling. Well, particularly if you're on a road bike, I suppose you don't really think, oh, well, my legs need to be kind of strong. But for mountain biking, I'm sort of discovering a bit more that actually upper body strength, your core strength, all that kind of stuff is really important. Can you talk a bit about that? Like, what's the sort of things you have to think about in terms of strength with mountain biking?
Yeah, so if you imagine yourself on a bike, right, especially a mountain bike, and you think about how you're holding on to the bars, and then as well as your connection to the pedals, there's a lot of rotational force that's being transferred from your arms through your legs as you're moving on that bike. A lot of times people don't even think about that, but think about it the next time that you're doing let's say, an uphill and you're out of the saddle. There's a lot of force that's being pulling and pushing with your arms that, like you're saying, is a strength component that could be trained via your upper body training at the gym or, whatever type of workout that you're doing if you're not into the gym. But, getting the pushing and pulling movements in there for a fairly short period of time, let's say, anywhere from 5 to 20 repetitions at a time is something that could be mimicked right there on the bike.
Yeah, something that's helped me a lot actually with going to CrossFit is grip. So I used to be on a half day or a full day ride, I would struggle halfway through because my forearms are totally pumped out from doing the downhills. But actually, my grip's increased so much having gone to CrossFit, and that's something that you work on a lot at CrossFit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely a great point. I didn't even think about that. But grip is something that is a very fundamental piece in CrossFit, whether you're, holding onto a barbell or a kettlebell or a pull-up bar. If you don't have that grip strength, then you're going to have a hard time doing it. But doing it for a period of time, you're going to increase that grip strength. And yeah, holding onto handlebars is going to be definitely better if your grip is better.
What do you have some quick what's a kind of good little workout for strengthening your grip if you don't really have access to a gym or a CrossFit gym? Anything you can do at home?
That is a great question. You could really do anything with your grip that involves just picking stuff up. So, just off the top of my head, paint cans, walking around with paint cans would be a great thing. Or any, let's say, I know at Home Depot you can pick up those buckets. So just go grab a big bucket that you could fill up with water that has a handle on it. And
Sure.
then you just do farmer's carries with that. So maybe go out on the street or in your backyard or whatever, and just set a distance to go with those farmer's carries. And you'd be pretty surprised how hard carrying a 5 gallon bucket of water would be for a distance. So.
Yeah, the last workout I did at the CrossFit gym was carry kettlebells basically out into the street. That was the bit that surprised me in the early days of going there, that they basically chuck you at the gym and make you walk around the block. And we had to pick up 2 16-kilo kettlebells and basically walk about 500 meters around the block and do that 5 times. And I was stopping 2 or 3 times on the walk, and it was absolutely killing me. But yeah, that certainly worked.
Yeah, it surprises you how hard that actually is, isn't
Yeah, definitely.
it?
What about the rest of the body? So what do you think is the next most important for a mountain biker?
Well, obviously you're going to be it, well, two things. You got your legs and endurance, which you talked about earlier, right? So whether we are or not, we could say that one of those is more important. I don't know that, we could argue all day about that. They're probably just as equally as important, but you could train them both at the same time. So having that good foundation of being able to use your legs as well as breathe is going to be something that is fundamental in the sport.
Sure. Yeah. So you want to be able to actually do both. You don't want to be a big muscle man that can't actually move. You need to be able to do both.
Yeah, and the truth is that, you'll find that that is actually possible, right? You could have somebody that's really strong in their legs, but maybe they gas out, halfway
Yeah.
through or whatever, or the vice versa. You have someone that could. If it's, something that's very flat and not very technical or don't have to use much of your strength, you could go forever. But if it's something that you have to use your legs a lot for, then you're gonna also gas out.
Right. So what would be, say, like you were to pick 3 or 4 movements then that would help us to improve our leg strength and maybe just our core strength in general, something that a mountain biker could do every couple of days just to improve their performance, what would you go for?
Yeah, I would go with probably a lot of squatting, whether that be back squatting, front squatting, just because that's a total body movement and you're going to be using the pretty much every muscle in your body with maybe the exception of your chest or your pectoral muscles. That would be a great one. And figuring out specifically the time domains that you're going to be using or exerting energy. Would be pretty interesting for the sport of mountain biking. So like if you find that you're pedaling hard for a certain amount of time and then pulling that into the specific training program that you're going to be doing so that you could figure out, hey, I'm going to be going hard for 20 seconds at a time, then you take your training and you do squats for hard for 20 seconds at a time. That would have a huge transfer from one thing to the next. Especially if you were training at, let's say, even a harder clip on the squats than you would be on the mountain bike, then when you came back to that, it was going to feel easier for you. So squats would definitely be the first exercise I would choose. Then another total body exercise for that that's going to give you a lot of potential leg pump would be like a walking lunge and something that you continuously do as far as like covering ground. So on a walking lunge, your legs are under constant tension, one after the other, kind of like spinning on a bike. And the last one that I would consider doing would be a deadlift, actually. So three heavy leg movements, the deadlift, just picking the barbell up off the ground. And that one's going to have a lot to do with grip strength, but then also a ton to do with core strength and the rear chain of your body, which is going to be taxed in any kind of riding position over time.
Excellent. So just three workouts, sorry, three exercises there, and only one really needs a bit of equipment, doesn't it? What would you say? Could you do a deadlift without a bar? What would you use for that?
Same thing. A deadlift is mimicked every day in our lives. So if you're picking up a box to if you're picking up a pen off the ground, we should all be doing deadlifts when we're doing that.
Right.
But it could be anything from if I've gone on trips before that are to locations where we obviously aren't going to have any kind of equipment, and just finding a nice big rock to pick up is a great way of deadlifting. And also, it actually is going to work your grip even more than a conventional barbell because it's harder to hold on to. The things you just have to consider when you're doing something like picking up a rock is making sure that your back is very flat when you're doing that because you're going to throw yourself into an awkward position. So maybe if you haven't done a lot of deadlifting, I would recommend trying to get into a gym that has someone that can check out your form to make sure that you're doing it right, just because we don't want to have anybody hurting their backs trying to pick up heavy rocks before they're ready.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the instruction I got actually at the CrossFit gym close by me. It was something that I never thought I'd get into, Olympic weightlifting and that type of thing. I mean, I'm a totally skinny guy. I'm the weakest out of all my friends by a long shot. So it's not something I thought would be my strength, pardon the pun. But I'm really enjoying it actually, like learning the technique and the sort of science behind it, I suppose. I find that really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And the positions that your body has to be in to be successful in it. And you can take that thought process and move it over to other things as well. I mean, think about the positions that your body has to be in on the bike, right? Could you get more power out of your legs if your knees are in a certain position or if your elbows are in a certain position? It's pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to something you said earlier around the whole trying to mimic the biking tempo, I suppose it would be in your strength workouts as well. That's interesting. So you're talking about actually making your strength training into cardio as well. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, because every time that you're picking up a barbell, or not, let's every time you're doing an exercise, your body is, using different types of muscle tissue and different types of energy sources. And we can look at what you're doing as far as like your number one goal is going to be a good mountain biker. So let's break that apart and see what it takes to be a good mountain biker and then make our training fit that. So we can take, those time domains or, whatever it may be that you need to improve upon on the mountain bike, and then mimic that with a movement inside of the gym in order to get better at it without having to be on the bike.
Yeah. Do you think in that case that you can get away with just strength training in that form and not as much cardio? Or would you do cardio alongside it?
I think it depends on how much time that you're spending on the bike and if you feel like you're getting enough cardio on that. Because, one person might be, like we talked about earlier, one person might be better at that or have more genetic potential to be better at cardio versus strength. And if that's the case, then they might not need to do more cardio. But if it's the other way around, then, obviously you would have to do more cardio in order to make up that difference.
Right, okay. See, some might want to jump on the running machine or go out for a jog or whatever alongside.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all a little bit different. We kind of have to be scientists on ourselves if we want to be the best athlete that we can be. We have to think about those things.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The other thing that popped into my head there as well, and something I'm thinking about just now is flexibility as well, flexibility and mobility, because that's something I struggle with because I'm stiff as anything. I work on a computer 8 hours a day. I think I'm stiff by sort of genetics as well. So I've been trying to work on that. Is that something that you notice in cyclists? I've heard that maybe it's a problem with cyclists in general.
I would even say it's a problem with most people. So
Okay.
I wouldn't even pinpoint cyclists, but as most athletes, you can look at and say that there is a mobility component that should be done that a lot of people aren't doing. And you hit the nail right on the head with the majority of people, just like you, are on a computer a lot of the time. And you have to look at if I'm holding my body in a certain position for an extended period of time, it's going to want to stay in that position. So we're going to have to do things in order to get it out of there. And the first thing would be, from my perspective is, let's say if you want to be competitive on a mountain bike and you're sitting at a computer all day, can we get you out of the chair, right? That'd be the first question, because standing is going to be a lot easier on your body than, or at least we're going to have to undo a lot less, or we're going to have a lot less to undo if we're standing than if we're sitting all day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you get a standing desk, does that by itself over a couple of months make a difference to your flexibility?
Absolutely. So let's say if you're sitting over for, let's say, 2 months sitting versus 2 months standing, you're going to have your hip flexors that are going to be tight. You're going to have your glutes, which are going to be lengthened, and then same thing down at your knee joint. You're going to have your hamstrings tight and your quads, which are lengthened, just by sitting in that position, let's say 8 hours a day. But when you stand yourself up into a more mobile position, a standing position, which our bodies are more meant to be in that position, then you're going to have less to work yourself out. And anybody who's use a standing desk will also notice that they're not usually just standing there. They're probably moving around as they're doing their work at their computer, just because I don't know, I've found that it just feels natural to do that. So
Yes.
the little bit of moving also helps keep those joints much more mobile.
Yeah, you kind of end up rocking from foot to foot, I think, and well, kind of relieving the pressure on your feet, I suppose, because you're standing up so much. I have one at home actually, for that very reason, because I'm so inflexible, and I thought that sitting was probably a bit of the trouble. So yeah, I find it great actually. So yeah, it's a good recommendation.
Yeah, for sure. I've as well. I've gone through that same thing where sitting at a computer for a long time versus standing. The standing is just helps. For me, it was my back and all that went from being tight when I was doing anything from biking to working out, lifting a barbell, and just completely went away after doing that.
Yeah, excellent. So you mentioned a few of the parts there that probably suffer the most. You've got your glutes, your hip flexors, hamstrings. Are they kind of the first place to start if you want to try and increase your mobility for biking?
Yeah, definitely. And you also have to look at those positions as, you know, are you lengthened in that position? Is that why you feel like you have less mobility, or are you tight or shortened in that position? So, for example, if you're sitting, right, you're going to probably be lengthened in the upper hamstring, but tight in the lower hamstring. So you're going to have to think about the positions that you put yourself in when you're trying to stretch those things, or if you're trying to roll them out. And I think a lot of things that get overlooked as far as mobility too is that people go to stretching first, and it's almost, for me, I feel like the stretching is kind of like the secondary thing, and I would rather do some kind of rolling out on a lacrosse ball or a foam roller or something like that before the stretching, just to get your body to break up the adhesions that we've created there.
Sure. And you mentioned being too lengthened. What does that mean exactly? I can only think of being too sort of too short in a muscle.
Yeah, so let's put ourselves into a sitting position, right? So if we're sitting in a chair, and in that position, our hips are flexed. So our upper body is closer to our quadriceps, so the top of our thighs. And if we go down to the back of our glutes there, in that position, because we're at that 90-degree angle, the hamstring and the upper part of the hamstring is going to actually be lengthened. Even though it feels tight, it's feeling tight because it's in a lengthened position, not necessarily in a shortened position, which we associate with tight. So we might go and, you know, bend over and do a upper hamstring stretch, where it might be that we're giving ourselves, or we're reading the signals wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. But would you still strengthen a lengthened muscle then to rectify that?
Would I still, what was that?
Stretch a lengthened muscle. That seems counterintuitive to me. Is that how would you solve a lengthened muscle? Is that rolling rather than stretching then?
Exactly. So you wouldn't
Right.
stretch in a lengthened muscle. And that's what I was kind of saying, that you have to think about the positions that your body is in on a regular basis to know that if I feel tight in that particular position, is it because I'm short in that position, or is it because I'm, you know, lengthened in that position?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That kind of changes a lot of the things that I've thought about in terms of how I fix myself from my sitting at the computer all day. So yeah, excellent. I managed to get myself a roller, and I've been trying that a lot recently. So it's painful, but it does seem to help. You've mentioned in the past though, is it mashing or bashing?
Smashing.
Smashing, even worse.
Yes.
And
Yes.
what's that exactly?
So, smashing is easiest done with a friend. So, a lot of times our bodies will create these muscular adhesions, or like certain muscles will get stuck together and things from hard training and not recovering properly. So, what we'll do is we'll take a friend, and let's say, for example, it's a quad smash is a very typical way of doing that. So one person would lay on the ground, and the other person would lightly step on their quadriceps, so kind of rolling their foot over the quadricep muscle in order to separate the four quadricep muscles from each other and break up adhesions that might be in there. Similar to if you were to go and pay for a deep tissue massage, but you can just get the same effect from having your buddy, you know, step on you.
Sounds untechnical, painful, but possibly effective.
Yeah, I've actually noticed that as far as having tight muscles, that is probably the most effective thing that I've ever done in order to alleviate a tight muscle group.
Really? Excellent. Okay, I'll have to find somebody to give that a try with. Maybe I'll do it to them before they do it to me.
Exactly. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like you want to start off easy at first and, you know, move into a deeper kind of step, if you will, as the tissue gets loosened up and as you feel more comfortable with it. So
yeah, perfect.
Pick your stepper wisely.
I'm sure. Someone small.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So do you mind if we change tack a little bit over to the nutrition side of things?
Sure.
Hey again, folks. And I hope you got a lot out of that conversation with Joe from allaroundjoe.com. You'll notice that it was cut off a little bit at the end there. That's because we moved on to a different conversation after this. I actually had pretty much two separate chats with Joe, one around training and strength training related to mountain biking, and the other around nutrition and supplements that mountain bikers in particular should think about. So I thought I'd split it up because they were such separate discussions. We're splitting into two separate episodes to make sure there's a topic in each one. So I hope you'll pop back for the next episode of the Mountain Bikes Parter podcast to hear more excellent wisdom from Joe. Certainly, I got a ton from that one. I'm going to go away and work a lot on my flexibility. Definitely a bit more strength training. I think that something that I mentioned in that that episode, I'm a bit of a 10-stone weakling when it comes to actual strength. Even though I can power my way around on a bike, I've got decent leg strength. The rest of me, my upper body's a bit, probably on the weaker side of things. So I could do with doing a bit more of the old press-ups, pull-ups, a bit more bodyweight exercises. I'm going to work away on that in the coming few months and see how much that affects my riding. So I hope you took away similar things as well. And especially how easy it is to do actually at home. Like the fact that you don't need much kit. Just get out some paint pots, as Joe said, or just some heavy bags or something that you can do the farmer carries with. Sounds like a good plan to me. So, in the meantime, before you wait for the next episode from Joe and myself on nutrition, by all means get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at ColinMCGray, or you can email me from the website as well. Just go to mountainbikespart.com and you'll see the contact form in the top right. And also, obviously, at mountainbikespart.com, you can find all of the previous episodes from the podcast, as well as all of the articles that are on there around mountain biking and choosing kit and all that sort of stuff, all the good stuff that we've written about before. So thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show. Cheers.